Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Today we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear listeners, Professor Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, and we have had this pleasure to have him in the studio. We, in this program, discuss your problems, questions related to the Islamic upbringing and different topics which have a very great deal with the Islamic upbringing of children. And the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad and his family, may peace be upon them. Well, Professor, today I would like to start with an audience question. There's a question. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. My name is Ahmad Hussain. I'm from Pakistan. My question is, I have a daughter. She's almost 10 years old, but her behavior is still like that of a 5-year-old. Like, if I travel, she still wants toys and is a little aggressive. Can you suggest some tips to handle her? So, Professor, this father of a daughter is saying that as a girl is growing up, she's not getting mature mentally.
Yes, 10 years of age of a girl, of course, she's becoming an adult now, and she's becoming responsible for things, so she should grow up, of course. But again, it falls back to the thing that we may not have given them the proper upbringing that was required. At the age of 5, she should have been allowed to express herself and to become responsible at that age gradually. So those stages if we had taken care of those stages at the early age, then she would have been, her feelings for things and toys should have been taken care of at that tender age.
Okay.
Toys are important, as I said, for playing, but toys which teach us things. Even some children, when the toys become broken, they leave them, throw them away. That should not be the case. They should be taught how to manage them, how to take care of them, how to even rebuild them back. So they should be learning all the time. If now at the age of 10 she wants toys, you can ask her to, you can make her give her choice between toys and other things which can be useful. If I go for, you can say, look, I'm going to that place, and that place has a very special souvenir. I will bring that souvenir for you. There's a special food that they make. They have special sweet dishes, or they have whatever, I will bring that for you. And actually, when you go out...
So, if you are actually realizing that your child is not growing up mentally with his age, then it's you who has to provide them with alternatives. It's not you to be sitting home and expecting them to be like growing up on themselves. You have to play a role in just providing them examples.
Yes, you need to provide them alternatives and give them, tell them, look, the toys are good, but now it's your age is not for toys. You need to have things which teach you something, books or things which can, so you can practically bring things which are useful. And if you have made them, if you're a traveler, frequent traveler to other places, you bring things which they which make them curious, which make them learn things. You bring them souvenirs, you bring them things, books about that place, the history of the place, or yeah. cards or whatever, that makes them learn about that place. So naturally, when you come back from a journey, from a trip, when you come back to them, they will expect you to tell, to explain to them and to narrate to them what has happened in your trip, and yeah. they will feel excited about that.
So is it sometimes you, as a parent, you are failing to
yes.
show them their your external exposure of world?
Of course, if you want to make them learn about things, that you want them to understand what's happening in the world, then you need to
share
your experiences with
them. Yeah, indeed. We'll discuss more on this topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi, we have been discussing that a child who is not developing mentally with his age, where the problem basically lies. Well, there are some of the things that you have shared with us. You told us that it's either parents who are not providing with alternatives, who are not providing with different kinds of examples or alternatives that you could have. You could be taking this instead of this, and you can actually share your own worldly experiences with them, giving time, and then that's how they can actually develop a better understanding. Well, we had one more question wherein the same person was asking, Mr. Ahmed Hussein from Pakistan was asking, is it important to give Islamic education to your children at home if you are already living in an Islamic country?
Islamic education is not just teaching things. If the country you are living in, if it's Islam, even if it's an Islamic country, and mostly the books that are taught, the courses which are taught at school are about Islam, are textbooks. And even if they are books, textbooks about Islam, they are just textbooks. They're just giving you information. They're not inculcating in you the skills or the behavior that are required for performing as a good Muslim. So education, informal education about Islam and how to live your life according to Islamic tenets and beliefs and rules, that
here
needs
the family has got a very important role
yes.
to play.
You can't just rely upon what's being taught in schools. There are good schools, even there are maybe many good schools which teach you even Islamic, they give you Islamic training and upbringing, but that is again not enough. It has to be complemented by the training and the education which takes place in an informal environment at home. That is
so as we say that charity begins at home, we don't have to totally depend on the schools or the environment we are living in. We have to play a role in the family as well, because as this parent has asked, that is it enough to live in an Islamic country, or do the parents also have to play some role? So what kind of informal role or what kind of indirect role these parents can play at home to teach Islamic things at home?
Yes, it's a lot of things can be taught at home. As we said, that we have four relationships with each other. Every human being has to have different relationships with different things, himself, his Allah Almighty, with his family, with other human beings, with the environment. Many of these things can be taught at home, especially the love and the attachment which we have for Allah Almighty, or what we are supposed to do with respect to our own selves. I mean, the habits which have to be formed regarding our personal hygiene, our clothing, how to clothe, how to eat, what to eat. There are so many things about Islam wants us to learn about ourselves, what to do with ourselves. And that
won't seldom be taught something in the school textbooks.
Seldom it's
the school,
there. It's seldom yeah. it's there in the school.
Yeah.
Or for girls, cooking and taking care of many things which they should need. They need to learn when they get married, for example. So many of these things, home economics, home management, yeah. nothing is taught at schools
yeah.
and colleges.
Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakawi, and we are saying that it's not enough to be living in an Islamic country or studying in an Islamic school. And this never means that you as parents do not have any duty then towards the Islamic teachings towards your child. So, Professor Nakawi, you're saying that there are different ways, like you said, in terms of girls, home management and cooking and all. This is not something taught in the textbooks. This is something, the practical thing. So how else can we teach our children to be obedient, to be nice, to be loving, have all those Islamic reflections at home?
Yes, of course, there's a lot of things that parents need to do and have to do, and they can do. Especially one of the things which is important, even things which are being learned at school, if they're not having the proper impact, they should give a feedback to their children, to the teachers of the to the management of the school. That is important. Number two, there are many questions which children come up with after having interacted with their schoolmates and classmates and their teachers. There are things they have to be able to manage. They have problems which they face at school. Parents need to address those issues. They need to be able to communicate with their children in a way that, for example, if a child is facing a problem with his classmate at school, there's a fight or a quarrel going on, the child needs to be taught how to manage that conflict. He needs to be taught
management.
Management, yes. Managing conflicts is a very important thing. A lot of issues that we face today in society, as children, as grown-up people, the problem comes when we are not able to...
Mismanagement of conflicts.
Conflicts are... Because in every human interaction, there are issues that you face because you have different thoughts and different ideas and different approaches to things. Now, there's always a difference of opinion, there's always a difference of approach in things we carry out in at school, at work, at places of work. The most important thing is how to resolve those issues and those conflicts. And that is not taught to us anywhere, unfortunately. And it begins at home, because that's the most testing of places. I mean, siblings amongst themselves and their relationships amongst themselves and relationships with their parents, they are matters of conflict all the time. And this management of conflicts is very important, and that has to be taught to them at home. Schools...
So that they can actually grow up in the external environment properly.
Yes. I mean, yeah, so the actual place where they're learning things regarding human management and management of relationships starts from the home. And it comes from how we see our parents doing so. How do they manage their affairs and relationship between each other? The relationship between man and wife, how do they manage that? How, if they all the time they have conflicts and quarrels and they are at each other's throats, unfortunately, then this will be taught to our children. So we need to take care of the fact that how do we deal with ourselves, between ourselves as parents, and how we then deal with our children This is very important, and this is how we need to teach how to manage human relationships and how to deal with them in a proper way, in a harmonious way.
Yeah, so the most important thing is that the important aspect when the child is learning is all through observation. If you're not able to manage conflicts at home, a child won't be able to manage it outside.
A pampered child at home will not be able to manage conflicts at outside of his home, because he's never learned to be told off. He's never been learned to become punished.
Well, there are so many issues with the pampered children, and we'll discuss them in the upcoming sessions. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.